This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So for the next 56 minutes, join me and we'll talk sports all afternoon. Great program for you today. We're going to talk some health and physical fitness with Steve Morgan. And then we'll talk about the state high school championship playoffs with Mick McCabe. So we'll do both of those and we'll ask you your questions and your thoughts on health and physical fitness as the weather really turns and is getting much better here in the mid-Michigan area. And we're a little bit surprised how what really like we're getting these summer weathers, and it's coming up on us, and it's been great. I know we all love the nice warm weather. The golfers, I see them out on the golf course golfing, and so there's a lot of things going on right here on AM 870 WKAR. So if you get a chance, you can get out there, hit a few golf balls around. Maybe you want to get a little jogging in or something like that. But hey, whatever you like to do, just call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're going to talk some, along when we get a hold of Steve, we'll talk with him. But also, right now, let's talk a little basketball. And, of course, we talked a little hockey yesterday. We can talk a little bit more hockey with you. But with the state high school championships, and, of course, Michigan State is in it. And that game is tomorrow night, 7:45, and you can watch that. But right now, let's talk a little bit about the high school games coming up in Breslin Arena, the semifinals of the boys' state championship for all classes. And we'll do that as well. But right now, let's bring in our good friend Steve Morgan and talk about a little bit of health and physical fitness with Steve. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good in this weather, Earl. How about yourself?
Me too. I'm loving this weather. That was the first question I had was, you know, with the weather turning so good and getting warm so rapidly, is there anything people should be concerned about if they start to, say, jump out and start working out or doing something outside? Should they have any concerns at all?
Oh, my God, Earl, we don't have that kind of time, do we? I mean, there are a number of sudden cardiac arrests, a lot of metabolic problems and issues with diabetes and things of this nature. Just jump out and start going hard is not very bright. The best route, once again, we've been saying it for years, start out slow, get your bike out. Even prior to that, if you can afford to, I really don't think that you can afford to, but if you find a way, you really need to get a basic checkup from your doc. We always recommend that. Have for years, we'll always do that, because then some of these things that just seem to pop up, a doc would have told you that you had some cardiorespiratory problems and whatnot just by listening to your chest. So there really is a basis for it. But then after that, just start out slow. Start out slow and really try to enjoy the weather. Just get out and breathe some fresh air and get on the bike, which is a non-impact activity, and ride the river trail, take a look at Lansing, East Lansing, or wherever you may be, and just get outside.
Well, you know, for me, starting out slow is no problem. I can start out slow. I can do that. I was wondering what some people might want to be a little bit more vigorous in the workout. Maybe not really work out fast, but just probably wants to do a little bit more of a pace or something like that. But they should work. They should start out slow as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to know who you are. Everyone has to be graded as an individual, Earl. Mm-hmm. It's really important for people to understand that just because your neighbor is out riding 52 miles every other day and lifting in the mornings and you're seeing them drive off to the gym every morning as you prepare your ninth cup of coffee, I mean, you have to realize that when you go out, you cannot start haphazardly like that and just try to keep up with the quote-unquote the Johnsons. You know, you're going to have to just start out slow. The best thing I could recommend in terms of a training partner would be a heart rate monitor, a Polar heart rate monitor. And no, I'm not endorsed by Polar. I've just been using them since the turn of time, since the early 1900s, it seems like. No, I'm not that old, but I'm just saying, ever since they came out, we've had Polar. And all the other ones, as Earl knows, Earl has an unbranded one. We'll let that brand name slip today. But Earl has one, and it just never seemed to work right.
That's
did it,
true.
Earl?
That's true. It didn't. It didn't.
But the Polar Heart Rate Monitor is inexpensive, and it allows you to set your training parameters based on how old you are and how fit you are. And you can set training parameters, and then therefore, when you're training by yourself and listening to your music, it can buzz on your wrist if you're getting too high with your heart rate, or it can also let you know if you're going too low, and therefore wasting your time and not receiving the full effects. Another point about the sunshine coming out, Earl, is vitamin D.
Yes,
there are so many studies out about the problems with insufficient amounts of vitamin D and how chronically that can lead to a variety of different disorders. And studies are continuing to maturate concerning vitamin D. So in lieu of that, I would strongly suggest to people to get out and watch the SPF and just limit your time in the regular sun. You know who you are. Once again, if your dermatologist has recommended you to use a 15, don't say that Steve said I could go out and be free for a couple hours. I didn't say that. Okay? I'm saying you may want to scale down and limit your time in the sun so you can make sure you can get the vitamin D, which is had by ultraviolet light. So, yeah, it's very important.
Now, Steve, you know, when you and I were a few years younger, I won't say how many years younger, you know,
right.
we used to get out there and jump out and work out hard vigorously and all those things. Now, when you look back at that, were we doing that haphazardly or 'cause I know I didn't know what I was doing or were we doing the right thing, but we just didn't know what we're doing?
Earl, no, it's amazing. We've gotten away with what we've gotten away with, and there are several people mm-hmm. out there that are just playing Russian roulette with the physiology.
Yes,
and you know, I've been a part of a couple of first responders who are working in a health club setting with guys that looked apparently healthy, mid 40s, early 50s, and they drop like flies. You know, and they've been coming to the health club, you know, but they're over fat. You know, but they won't admit to that. You know, they'll figure because they're working out, you know, and they're doing it sporadically, albeit, you know, they seem to think that's enough to ward off the chronic effects of obesity. And it's not. It's just not. You need to have compliance. You need to maintain a schedule, even if it's of low intensity. You need to maintain for long durations, not 2 weeks, but 12 weeks, not 12 weeks, but 4 months, you know, and then eventually it becomes a lifestyle. And this is what all these health and fitness gurus, quote unquote, self-proclaimed experts and this, that, and the other thing. This is what they have over the average Joe. And this is why they're preaching to the average Joe, is because they've mastered the art of compliance. They don't necessarily have this rigorous education, most of them. They just have complied with something. It worked, such as the Atkins diet. You know, and then they start talking about it. And now everybody jumps on board and everybody's heading down the wrong road.
Steve, I know I wanted to ask you, this isn't a shameless plug, but just to get your thoughts, I know you've been working out with the Lansing Sexton basketball team for the last few years. From what you've seen, how have they developed and gotten better as basketball players?
Oh, the confidence. The confidence, and then they're just manhandling people now at this point. Even when kids present themselves with equal skill sets, which are very few, the overall physicality of the game is just too much for the average high school kid. And it gets a little disheartening for them at some point when the realization sets in that this isn't going to stop. You know, they get to halftime and they're exhausted and they come back out. And this pounding continues, this relentless going back at you, this defensive structure continues. It becomes a little disheartening. And I've been on the other side of the ball, too, as you know. I've been on mm-hmm. the losing side and having to assess. This whole season with Grand Valley, we were on the losing side, constantly having to evaluate the physicality and where our players are. And when you're not there, the X's and the O's are almost pointless, because if you can't execute physically, then mentally, you can want to be there all you want to. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
And that's where they're just, you know, and Coach Valentine will say probably some other things, I'm sure. But, you know, my take on it is from my 20-plus years of dealing with teams is that, you know, three or four individuals on that team just have they understand where they are on the hierarchy of boys basketball in the state of Michigan. Put it that way. And they're not going to be upset. I mean, I've never done predictions, you know, but that's just one of the things that they just bring so much to the table in terms of just dogfight attitude. The Pershing game, you know, that's one of those things where they were a little bit immature in some of their responses to some of the fouls and some of the other issues seemed to get with them. Those issues have been addressed by Coach Valentine, Coach Ferguson, Coach Cunningham, Coach Mitchell, myself, and, you know, and several parents. And that's not the same bunch of guys that you see out there representing Lansing anymore.
Yeah, when you have – I know you had a certain number of the guys in the team working out with you. Is it difficult, or is that more so the parents or the, getting them to come in as well? Because I know some guys will buy in and some guys who don't.
Absolutely. And I've experienced it at the collegiate level, the high school level, and beyond. And that buy-in, as you call it, Earl, is so important. You have to understand that there's a process. You know, and during that process, you know, there are physiological downturns and downswings where you're not going to get stronger, but your technique is going to get better, or something else is going to get better. And you have to feed off of what that something is. And that's what drives you through a long season, which began back at the end of a week after the state championship last year. We began, you know, certain guys began this quest, you know, to repeat and to do whatever was necessary. And that includes maintaining, you know, grade point averages of 3.5 and higher, you know, and continuing on to, you know, as you know, going to college and all this stuff. That's just a part of it. And training 3 days a week before school, you know, training through playoffs, training through division districts and regionals. They don't stop training. And, that, you know, other high school teams never train. So you're not going to outwork Sexton because they don't work at all, the rest of them. So you can leave that out of the equation. And I've heard that said by other coaches, you know, where they, you know, where they think they're going to outwork Sexton. It's just not going to happen.
Hey, what's the difference, or just in general terms, I guess, what's the difference for kids who are training for basketball and training for football? I know football, you have to be a lot stronger. Seems like basketball, flexibility is the impact.
It's both. It's both and both. You know, we have basketball players, and I won't tell you who, but, you know, that are, you know, sizable like high school football athletes, and they do the same amount of poundage. You know, the flexibility comes in practice, you know, of practicing flexibility, you know, practicing your stretching, and whether it be through yoga, Pilates, some form of lengthening is necessary as the muscle goes through, you know, a hypertrophy phase, which is the enlargement of the muscle fibers themselves. You know, so during that process, you know, stretching and remaining, as some of the old timers call it, limber.
Yeah.
I know I dug deep on that one. But remaining limber is very important so that it allows them to stay, have the ability to be creative with the ball. And in football, you know, we still want the flexibility, but it's still, you know, for us, you know, the guys I deal with, it's a north-south thing. It's not, the agility is there. But it's really a north-south game, you know, and a lot of guys will argue with me, but soccer, to me, is the epitome of an agility game. Everything's played in a box in soccer. When a guy approaches you in soccer, you're in a box, both of you. And now what you do in the box to get around the guy, but you don't have any more room than the box. And so, you know, not to get too deep on it, but those are some of the differences in how we look at it from strength and conditioning and agility, you know, professionals.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get back again and talk some more health and physical fitness for the old geezers like me and for the young kids as well.
And Earl, one more thing. You know, the people that are listening, if they didn't plan on attending Friday, they really should try to get into Breslin. Especially, you know, you want to see these guys. They're just different. You know, we used to say the same thing about the women out in 94, 95 when Chuck Urie was out there with women's volleyball. You know, and several of those girls went on to Olympic teams and pro teams. And this team is very reflective of that. You know, and for those of you out there who know what I'm talking about, you're going to see something special Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, come on out to watch the state championship games. You're going to see a lot of good basketball. Sure, I know you want to see Sexton, but there are a lot of good games out there that are worth viewing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're all worth it.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. It was good talking to you all, as we do always, and we'll talk to you again, buddy.
You got it. Go State. Go Big Red.
Okie dokie. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan from the Maxon Athletic Performance, and he trains many of the Big Reds and trains other high school athletes around the state of Michigan. And if you want to get a little bit more information, you can always call Steve, talk with him, and get some more tips on health and physical fitness. The time, 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Santorum wants a do-over. House Republicans redraw the budget, and the president fires up the fundraising. I'm Neil Conan. Mitt Romney continues to sweep up delegates, but he may yet fall short. Political junkie Ken Rudin on maybe, just possibly, a brokered convention. Plus, C-SPAN's Brian Lamb as he leaves the network he helped create. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Sunny this afternoon and a high of 84. Mostly clear tonight with some patchy fog in places, a low in the upper 50s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, otherwise a high in the mid-80s. And rain showers are likely on Friday with a chance of thunderstorms, highs in the lower 70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527. 9527870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email. Come on and talk sports with us right here at AM 870 WKAR. We're going to chat with the sports editor, the prep editor, that is, from the Detroit Free Press, Mick McCabe, who works at the Detroit Free Press, and we'll talk with him about the upcoming semifinals and finals in boys high school basketball from around the state of Michigan. Boy, we've got some good teams in the semis, and let me just tell you who they are. In Class D, you're going to see Muskegon Catholic and Southfield Christian, Climax Scots and Kearney Nadeau, and then Class A, Rockford and Romulus, Saginaw and Macomb and Macomb Cruz, and then you'll have also on Friday in Class B, Lakeshore Stevenson versus Muskegon Heights, and Lansing Sexton will also be in there against Detroit Country Day. And that's on Saturday. Some of the teams that you get a chance to watch on then. And then okay, there's the one I missed, Class C state championship boys. You have Schoolcraft and Beecher in one game in Class C, and in Traverse City, Francis and Shelby in the other game in Class C. The best teams in the state of Michigan right here will be in Jenison Fieldhouse on Thursday, and then on Friday, and then all the finals will be held on Saturday. So you get a chance to watch some of the best boys basketball around the state. And I've often said, if you've never been to a state semifinal or final, it's certainly worth going to. As Steve has said as well, you should get over and see. You get a chance to see some of the best boys basketball in the state of Michigan. It's always a great time, a great trip. It's great to do something at something. I know a lot of people do year in that I've talked to. They go every year to the semis and the finals, which is great. But if you've never been, I think it's well worth your time to go over and watch some of those trips right here on WKAR. It's worth talking to. And now let's let someone else tell you a little bit about it. We've got our good friend Mick McKay from the Detroit Free Press on with us. Mick, how you doing, my man?
All right, how are you?
Hey, doing good. You know, Mick, it's one thing, you know, we talk about it, but I don't think we give it enough credit. But, you know, over the years, I know you and I've seen some of the best games in the state are in the semifinals of the teams that are trying to get to that championship game. There have been some great, great games over the years.
Oh, yeah. Just tremendous games. And, you know, we could have some of that again tomorrow and Friday.
Yes, I mean, I just read off all the teams that are in, and boy, we've got some great matches. I mean, that Rockford, Romulus, and Saginaw, and Macomb, I mean, all the teams, some of the teams have tradition bound. They'll be back there. We've got some newcomers, and that's always exciting in the semifinals.
Yeah, but we got to settle you down a little bit there, Earl. You know, Macomb Lawrence Crews North, this is the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And they've only gotten here because Warren De La Salle got taken out of their region and put down into the city of Detroit. And so they kind of won this one by default. And, you know, look for Saginaw to win pretty big on Friday.
Yeah, a lot of the teams, it seems like they've downsized somewhat, Mick. You know, they're not as big as they used to be. They're still good, strong teams, but they just the overall population base of that school has shrunken. Are we seeing that happening all over the state?
Yeah, a lot of them. In fact, you know, there's talk of combining Arthur Hill and Saginaw High, which would be unbelievable to me.
Oh.
You know, at this point, it's just talk, but, you know, down the road, it could very well happen. And, you know, you lose jobs. You lose families and you lose students. So, yeah, that's happened in all parts of the state of Michigan.
Yeah, that's scary. Well, I know we've got some good games coming up. I know that people want to see. You know, we know that Sexton is. I know we can't say that's guaranteed they're going to win it or anything, but they're certainly close to a shoe-in, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the biggest lock of anybody out there. A year ago, they opened everybody's eyes. You know, we knew they were good, even though they finished. Last season, I think that they lost their last two regular season games. But when they just had their way with Country Day last year in the semifinals, oh my. And then, of course, they beat Heights for the state championship. And they're playing very, very well. And yeah, I'm not saying they can name their score against Country Day because Country Day is pretty good. But I expect Sexton to beat Country Day for sure.
I know all during the year they played a Class A schedule, and then they dropped down to play Class B in the playoffs. That's obviously probably a pretty strong advantage for them, isn't it?
Sure, and, you know, Muskegon Heights have done a lot of that too. You know, they played at Romulus. They played over in Saginaw. That's really an advantage. The tougher your schedule, I mean, you know, Michigan State's proven that in the men's NCAA tournament. Strength of schedule is a big advantage to you, and it is for Sexton, and it certainly is for Muskegon Heights, too.
Yes, well, I saw a pretty good game last night. I went to that Rockford game where they played, Okemos, and it was a tough loss for Okemos, but Mick, you would have liked that one. It was a good game that really came down in the last quarter. I mean, Rockford played they really played an outstanding third quarter. Okemos led at the half, but Rockford played lockdown defense in the third quarter and just eked out a win.
Yeah, Rockford's always played good defense. I mean, I still get shakes when I think of the 2003 state championship game. Mm-hmm. They beat Carmen Ainsworth 41-38. I mean, that had to set basketball back 15 years, but it was terrific defense, too, not just bad offense. And that's what they're known for. They get athletes who buy into the defensive system, and, you know, that's why they're headed to the semifinals.
Yes, they're another very good team with a lot of good young players, and that's the thing that I like, Mick. We see so many good young players that a lot of them are getting better, and we talked about that before, how, you know, we see some kids when they're sophomores and juniors, and it's amazing how good they can get in just that 1 year, you know,
from the spring on.
Yes.
It really helps. You know, a lot of it is AU, but not all of it is AU. Mm-hmm. And some it's just being in the gym, working on your shot, and doing drills. And so if you can be disciplined enough to do that, you know, sometimes AU is just sitting in a car for 8 hours that you could be spent in the gym. So if you know how to work correctly and really work with purpose, you can improve a lot over one season.
Yes. Now, what about those kids that are coming from football to basketball? When I talk with them and their coaches, most of them say on average it probably takes them 2 to 3 weeks to get into a basketball kind of shape. Do you see that, or do you think it takes a little longer?
I think it takes over a month, because it's one thing to get into that kind of shape with the muscles in your legs and all over, actually, but to change the mindset and to concentrate totally on basketball, it takes a month. And, you know, then there's some kids, some coaches who have to deprogram their kids from what they learned in AAU, where they actually have to share the basketball in the high school season, and that takes a while too. But football is a big transition for kids.
Yes, and that's something I always look for, because, boy, I was watching the game I was watching last night, a kid who's already on scholarship for football. The thing is, he just bowled over a couple of people.
Sure, yeah. you know, if you're an athlete in any sport, you know, it translates into other sports too. I mean, Derek Jeter would have been a Division I basketball player had he decided to go that way at Kalamazoo Central. Instead, I think he went to baseball, and, you know, I think he's done fairly well in baseball.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, what about looking at this this Class C game coming up tomorrow? Flint Beecher at Schoolcraft. We know Flint Beecher's had a very good history in the playoffs in boys basketball.
Yeah, they have, and Monte Morris is a terrific guard, kind of the way Courtney Hawkins was back when he played for Flint Beecher, and the kids play really hard. It was amazing that they beat Detroit Consortium the way they did in such a low-scoring game. It just shows how great defense they can play at Beecher, which would scare me if I'm at Schoolcraft and I'm Luke Reiskamp. And Luke was a sophomore last year who just, like, burst upon the scene in the semifinals and finals and basically carried Schoolcraft to the Class C state championship last year. It was an utterly amazing performance he put on, and I'm sure people are going to be D-upping him like crazy tomorrow. That could be a tremendous game.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Mick, Mr. Basketball came out just recently. Matt Costello, who's headed to Michigan State, won. And ironically, the runner-up was Denzel Valentine, who's from Lansing Sexton. And, I mean, Drew, that is. So that's really – is that usually rare that the top two guys in the state are going to the same school?
That doesn't happen very often. This is pretty unusual. It's anywhere but together. But these are the top two players, and, you know, Tom Izzo's on a roll right now in recruiting in the state of Michigan, that's for sure. And I don't think it'll be that way next year because the Walton kid from Harper Woods, Chandler Park Academy, is already committed to Michigan, and there's a chance he could be the first or second best player. And James Young from Troy, I don't think he'll end up at Michigan, although I guess there is a possibility. But I think this is a pretty unusual year.
Yes, those are two. I mean, they're both very good players. I haven't had a chance to see Matt Costello, but much can. What can you tell us about him? Many of the people, they saw him when he was here for that one game they were here, played earlier in the year. But other than that, we haven't had a chance to see him much this way.
Well, he's 6'10", and a year ago, when they had four senior starters and he was a junior, they played him a little bit on the perimeter. And he has some perimeter skills. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can shoot the three, but I mean, he's better, you know, mid-range. And this year, obviously, after losing the other four starters, they needed him more inside this year. And he became a good post player. But obviously, given what happened last year, he's versatile enough to step outside, too. I think in time, he could be an outstanding player at State. I think he might be able to work his way into the playing rotation next year. But after that, you know, it depends on how hard he works and how much he listens and absorbs from the coaching staff of Michigan State.
Well, Mick, we got an email in for you. He says, hi, Earl. Tell Mick that Don from DeWitt says hi, and that the DeWitts, he always appreciates the props he always gives Rob Zimmerman's football program. He also wants to know, does he rate the Sexton squad with the all-time great squad like Eric Turner's from Flint Central and the great Northwestern ones?
Well, I would say they're in the conversation for sure. The Flint Northwestern team, I think, they had Glenn Rice and Andre Rison and Mike Avery and those guys, I think that's right up there with the Detroit Pershing team of Spencer Haywood and Ralph Simpson is, you know, those two are maybe a little bit ahead. And then right underneath them is that Eric Turner group that you mentioned with Flint Central. I think this Lansing-Sexton team definitely fits in there. And along with the Detroit Southwestern team with Jalen Rose and Rashawn Leonard when they were seniors, I would say that they'd be in that next category there. And it's a tremendous team. I mean, they got four Division I starters. I think they're going to win again this year.
I would think so. And then, even though we always mention the four, there might end up being a fifth one. I mean, the big kid, he hasn't been offered yet, but they might end up having all five of their starters as Division I players.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And that's just, you know, another testament to how good this team is.
Yes, and we'll be watching this potentially great team. Hopefully, win another state championship. This is the only team that's left from the Mid Michigan area. There were three in the quarterfinals, and it came down to one. But that still means the basketball in the Mid Michigan area was pretty darn good this year, wasn't it, Mick?
Yes, as opposed to football in the Mid Michigan area.
Yeah.
But yeah. When you take Lansing Eastern and the season they had, and then Okemos with their nice run to the quarterfinals, and of course you've got Sexton and Pawama Westphalia. I mean, that was, you know, I did correctly pick that upset with Schoolcraft. But, yeah, it's been a tremendous year in your area for basketball.
Yes, and I know we're going to have some great semifinal games. Well, let me give you a chance. I know you'll probably have them in the paper tomorrow, but who are you picking to go on to the state championship games?
Well, I think in A, Ryan Millis and Saginaw will play for the title, and right now I'm leaning towards Ryan Millis because I haven't seen Saginaw since the summer. Mm-hmm. So right now it's Ryan Millis, but it's the shaky Ryan Millis. And then I think Muskegon Heights, they've got six losses, but nobody plays a schedule like they do in Class B. And I assume they'll play Lansing-Sexton again and get a repeat of last year. I think they'll win the state championship, Sexton will. In Class C, we've got Beecher and Schoolcraft. I haven't picked that game yet. I'll probably go with Monte Morris and Beecher, but Luke Bryce Camp is certainly capable of pulling off the upset there. And St. Francis and Shelby, I love Rick Zulik, the coach at Shelby, but I think they've got a little more talent at St. Francis. Sean Sheldon's a terrific player, especially for Class C, and I think they'll play Beecher, but I think Beecher is the best team in C. And then we got Muskegon Catholic Central and Southfield Christian. I think Southfield Christian is going to go on and win the whole salami there in Class D. I think they'll beat the winner of Climax Scott and Kearney Naidu. I mean, Kearney Naidu, they come in firing it. I think they hit 15 threes last night. So that could be a fun game to watch, too.
That's for sure. Hey, Mick, I want to thank you for joining us. As you know, it's always a pleasure. We love talking with you, talking perhaps with you all year long. And, of course, we'll talk with you again in the spring. We might even be able to get you on next week after the finals and just reflect on the finals. But, Mick, as you know, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Okie dokie. I'll be seeing you. You know I'll be there.
Yes, you will.
Okay, I'll see you, Mick.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Mick McCabe talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR. 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKR.
Classic quarterbacks, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, and John Elway, whose Denver Broncos bet big on Peyton Manning over the wildly popular Tim Tebow. But more athletic QBs challenge the pocket passers. Cam Newton, Robert Griffin III, and Tebow. I'm Neil Conan, the evolution of the quarterback. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Well, that should be a good program. Sports talk or talk of the nation coming up at the 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We can expect sunny skies for the rest of the day today, a high around 84. Then mostly clear tonight with some patchy fog overnight, a low in the upper 50s. Thursday, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms by afternoon, with a high in the mid-80s and a better chance for rain on Friday. Showers are likely, a chance of thunderstorms, a high in the lower 70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at WKAR.org. Well, you know, next month, around getting close to about this time next month, will be the NFL draft. And a lot of us will be looking at the NFL draft. Where will some of the top players be going? Will Robert Griffin indeed be the second pick of the overall draft? Coming up in behind our Andrew Luck, the first pick. And where and when will Jarrell Worthy go? Will he be a first-round pick near the end of the first round? Will he slip into the second round? We'll find out about this time next month right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, you know, then a lot of us will be paying a lot more attention to the NBA when it comes up. But we've got as we get ready to get down to the Final Four in basketball now, because we're at the Sweet 16 spot now, so it'll be chopped down to the Final Eight after this weekend. And as I told someone the other day, and actually a couple of people today, I said every game from here on out, you know, there are no guaranteed wins. I know everybody is very partial to their team and the team that they're rooting for, that's for sure. But unfortunately, no wins are guaranteed. There are no easy games coming up. Every game on all these things that I make, if you make it to the Sweet 16, you're going to have a tough matchup. Yes, you might win. You might be the better team, but you're going to earn it. That's for sure. So one thing I can tell you, all these games will be tough. Some of them may look like they're blowouts and may look like they're easy wins, but I can tell you for sure it's going to be a tough ball game. But enjoy the playoffs when they get the Sweet 16. Enjoy those games. That should be very good. Well, we've got Jacob Bodnarus with us. And, Jacob, I know you've been looking forward to the game. Have you broken down that game in any of the other games, or are you just looking at the Michigan State game?
I mean, I watch and look at all of them and kind of take a look at it. It's some interesting matchups. I am particularly interested to see the Ohio-UNC game, simply because I think that'll be a fun matchup. Ohio's playing really well, but... I think they're all going to, like you said, they're all going to be tough games. They're all going to be good games. There's no gimme games in there. They're all going to be difficult, and it's going to be interesting. The Michigan State game will be good, but I expect Kentucky Indiana will obviously be very good. Maybe not as good as it was the first time around,
yes.
But it's hard to top that. But that'll be good. Baylor Xavier will be a really good game. And then let's see, we got Syracuse Wisconsin, which will be, I think, an interesting game for Syracuse. Wisconsin likes to slow it down a lot, so we'll see how that works out. And then Cincinnati and Ohio State, you got Ohio battle in there. So I think they're all very good games. They all have the potential to be really tough.
Yeah, I think I read where this will be the first time ever that they had four teams from one state in the Sweet 16. You've got four Ohio teams. That's really a testament of how good the basketball is in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. Ohio with many teams, and then there's no teams left from the West Coast or the Pacific time zone or Mountain time zone for that matter. In fact, I don't think a Pacific time zone team has won the whole thing since '97. Arizona won it, so. Yeah, I think that's very intriguing. The Ohio teams and the Ohio matchups there. Ohio definitely has good basketball. They also have good football as well.
Oh, for sure. And we'll hear more about that, especially football, when it gets to fall around here. But the basketball we've talked about, and that's funny, Jacob, about basketball. It's got good basketball, but it really didn't have that good of a reputation like 10 to 15 years ago when Andre Hudson came here to Michigan State and helped the Spartans win that title. Because Tom and Andre was saying as well, they didn't have a lot of, he thought they had a lot of good players, but for whatever reason, they weren't being sought after as much. Now, everybody's going into Ohio looking for basketball players because scouts and people always took it as a football only school. Now it's looked at as a football and a basketball school, and it's changed in that way in the state of Ohio. And now you're seeing a lot of good players coming out of there.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes it just takes that one person to kind of gain notoriety. And recruiting in general has kind of become much more grandiose and much more. Nationwide in general, but it's weird to see those four Ohio teams sitting there, because I don't think many people expected. Most people probably only thought it was going to be Ohio State in there. Maybe
right.
Some people had you know, Cincinnati, but everybody was, seemed to be high on Florida State. You had them in the Final Four. So,
yeah, I did.
I think everybody kind of expected Ohio State. Nobody expected Ohio to be there. So,
right. Yeah, the Ohio team has been quite a surprise. And Clark Kellogg's son plays for the Ohio team.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
it's a good team. That is a really good team.
Very solid team.
They shoot the ball well. DJ Cooper is a great ball handler, extremely underrated. They're a tough team. If they play like they've played in the last, you know, two games against Michigan and then against South Florida, they will most certainly give UNC a run for their money.
You know, one thing, hopefully Ohio being in this far, they'll be able to drag the rest of the Mid-American Conference along with them, because it's been a pretty pathetic conference over the last few years.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is good for the Mid-American Conference to get somebody in the Sweet 16, you know, and they struggle in obviously football and basketball. It's really just been a, I mean, that in basketball, it's for the most part really been Akron as of late. Akron and a little bit of Miami of Ohio here and there, and Ohio every once in a while. But it's pretty much just top heavy with those two or three teams. So,
yeah. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on them as they get better and better, and hopefully now maybe this will run in the NCAA will make people a lot more cognizant of Ohio basketball for sure. And you can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Well, I looked at the New York Knicks game last night. Now it was even though it was only being played against the Toronto Raptors, I checked out Jeremy Lin, because you know Lin mania and Lin sanity has quieted down quite a bit.
Yes, it's pretty much gone silent.
But he had a good game. I mean, if he keeps having games like this, he'll get a lot more recognition. He had 18 points, 10 assists, and only 3 turnovers last night.
Wow!
So he had a good game.
Well, it was against the Raptors.
It was. That's it. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it was against the Raptors.
Asterisk on that stat line there.
But for him, though, that's a good game. If he can continue to do that in some shape or form, he's really helping himself out. But we'll just have to keep an eye on him and see if he can continue to playing as well as he's been playing. And then, of course, Detroit's Tayshaun Prince is really playing. He's been a pretty good player for them over the years. But this year, under the new system, he's starting to shine again. And so we'll always be keeping an eye on Tayshaun Prince. And he's been a good player. And he's one of, and you know, that's the thing. People don't realize it. He was one of those players that went to Kentucky all 4 years, was a senior, came out, and has had a very good career. And as you know, most guys now, if they're there a year, if they can get out after 1 year or either 2 years, they're gone. They're gone. I mean, a lot of them, the fact is, a lot of the players, they don't really care to stay for 4 years, and they don't really care that much about education. Hopefully, if they stay there 2 years, then they may pick up on it, and they may say they want to stay there, get their degree, and which will help them later on in life. But most of them, they just wanted to be there for a year or two and get on over to the NBA and make them some money, because that's what their goal, which is nothing wrong with that, having goals and dreams. Their goal and dream is to get to the NBA and get to a chance to make some good money, which some guys do. We know a lot of guys won't make it that far, but a lot of them have that dream.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's if it's your dream, it's hard to say no to somebody when that's their dream, is to play in the NBA, and they're able to do it at a earlier age than most people, or they're able to leave early and go ahead and do it. So Tayshaun Prince, like you said, he was there for 4 years, and he stuck it out. And there's a lot of good players still to this day that don't just leave after year one or year two, and they do stay, you know, at least into the third year and the fourth year, and they do it right. And a lot of it has to do with just the fact that sometimes when you think that you're ready to go, you're not ready to go, and you're not good enough, and you do have to mature a little more, not just physically but emotionally. Sometimes you're not. I mean, imagine being thrown into the NBA where you're making all this money. You're 19, 20 years old. I mean, there's a certain thing to say. You're just sometimes not mentally ready to handle that kind of thing.
Yes, we've often talked about that over the years and over time. Guys, when they make a ton of money at such a young age, they really don't know how to handle it. Many of those guys end up broke, or you know, some agent or someone messes them and gets them out of the money that they have, and they really think they've got it made because they're NBA and they're making a ton of money, even though they have no idea of what to do with it or manage it.
Yeah, it's not easy when you're thrown $1 million, you know, to sit there and budget it properly. The first knee-jerk reaction is to probably go buy a nice car and a nice house, but that doesn't do you a lot of good in 20 years when you're retired and you have no college degree. So, I mean, there, you can certainly go into the MBA without a degree and go early and then be fine for the rest of your life if you know how to manage your money well. But you can't expect people that are 20, 21 when they're getting a lot of money, you know, early on to manage it perfectly. That's an unrealistic expectation.
That's for sure. Hey, we haven't talked much hockey yet. You know, it's funny that we're getting closer to the end of the season for the playoffs. The hockey playoffs are always outstanding. I mean, I love Stanley Cup playoffs in the sport of hockey because that's one sport that we can say that it doesn't hardly come out to where it ends in the regular season. In basketball, a lot of times the top teams in the playoffs get further in the playoffs, and sometime we'll get down to the championship game. But in hockey, that hardly happens. You can have an 8 seed beat a number 1 seed, and that happens pretty regularly. Or an 8 seed gets all the way and gets a chance to play for the Stanley Cup championship. Because the thing in hockey, if you got a great goalie and he gets hot at the right time near the end of the season, he can carry you all the way to the Stanley Cup championship. That's what I love about hockey. And then the intensity of the playoffs, it's raised another level or two. You know, they really play great. You can see that in basketball, but they're playing when you're getting in a series where you got to beat a team 4 times, you can really concentrate on the series and try to take away the little things, the little nuances that they do. And that's the great thing about the basketball playoffs. But hockey playoffs, that's really fabulous. And I love seeing NHL playoffs. I don't know, will I be able to get you to watch some NHL hockey with me?
I usually watch a little bit. I usually actually do watch the hockey playoffs. I'm kind of a fair-weather hockey fan in the fact that I watch it when it's in the playoffs. I usually do actually watch the Stanley Cup, the final series, and some of the other games in there. That's usually something I tune into. So, you know, no, it won't be too difficult to get me to watch some hockey. That shouldn't be too big of a struggle.
Well, I know it won't be too difficult to get you to watch some baseball. We're getting ready to open up the baseball season. Steven Strasburg was named today as the starter for the Washington Nationals in their season opener. And hopefully he can come back from that arm. You know, he had Tommy John surgery last year, so hopefully he can come back from that. But Strasburg was purported to be one of the best pitchers in baseball for years to come, but now we'll have to see how he comes when he comes back from this Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, baseball season coming up. I know that'll be a lot of fun. You know, I'll watch a little bit of baseball here and there. It's hard to watch all 100 and some odd, whatever it is, 82 games. Is there 62? I can't remember. 162 games, yeah.
Now, are you into fantasy baseball?
I am not into fantasy sports as much as other people. And it's not because I like the idea of fantasy sports. It's just another thing that I have to do, though. Mm-hmm. And that's just like added to my list. And so I always forget to sub people out. It always ends up biting me in the butt. So I stopped doing fantasy stuff a while ago. I enjoyed it for a little while until I forgot to update it and keep track of it. And it just wasn't fun anymore. So.
Yes, I was like the same way. I used to do fantasy baseball in the early years. I did it for a lot of years. But the keeping up with it, I mean, you have to stay on top of that almost day in and day out.
That's like another job.
It is.
I know, and I'm not getting paid for it either.
Yeah, and you got to stay up to 2 or 3 in the morning and getting all the trades drops and see what players can become available. It just becomes a grind after a while. At least I thought it was a grind. I know a lot of people and some of my friends are still in it. They're still in the baseball, but I had to get out of it because it just takes up too much time.
My roommate does fantasy baseball, hockey, football, basketball, everything, and it's just like, I don't know how you do this, but it's certainly fun. I'm not going to take that away from it, but it's just, it is a lot of work, a lot of upkeep, housekeeping to do.
Yeah, the only thing I do is football now. I still like fantasy football. That's a lot of fun, and that doesn't take up the time that some of those other sports take up, because with only one game a week, that's a little bit better to manage.
Yeah, that's true. That's a little easier than, you know, 162.
It is. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. You know, I was thinking of the day, I should have counted them all up and all the teams up, because we've got the NCAA tournament, we've got the NIT tournament, we've got the College Basketball Insiders Tournament, and we've got the College Basketball Invitational Tournament. And we've got four teams, and I'm wondering, because what I should have done, maybe I can have you do this. After we had the four teams, the four conferences, the four teams, how many teams outside of those four invitational tournaments were 20 game winners that didn't get invited to any?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I know. I looked at it a couple of years. I didn't look at it this year. But there were a couple of years I looked at it and seen how many 20 game winners did not make any of those tournaments. And that's four tournaments. That's about 100 teams in the tournament. I know we've got 318 teams in Division One, and if there's at least 100 in the tournament, probably 110, 20 altogether with those. There would have to be, I would say, maybe one or two, or maybe three teams that won 20 games. They didn't make it to any of those tournaments.
Yeah, it would be. You have to imagine that with so many opportunities to play, postseason play now, you'd be able to get in with 20 wins. But I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, we'll have to. Maybe we can go back and look that up and look up all the teams and look them up and see if some got left out because that's a lot of teams and that's a lot of teams competing for a piece of some kind of a title. I know Oakland is still in one of the tournaments. I think that's the College Basketball Invitational or the Insiders Tournament. They're still there trying to get a win. They're still there. Oakland's still in that one. But that's the College collegeinsider.com tournament. So there's still some good basketball out there if you want to watch some good college basketball. A lot of different teams that get a chance to play in the postseason. Of course, I also wonder how many teams are so disappointed that they weren't able to get in the NCAA and had to settle for that College Insider. And, probably a lot of those teams probably didn't want to be in the NIT or the College Insider or the College Basketball Invitational.
Yeah, absolutely. The NIT, I think it kind of depends. If you were just on the outside of the NCAA tournament, I can see it being disappointing. If you're an upcoming team working on rebuilding, any postseason play is great. So it's, a stepping stone in the right direction. The other ones, I don't know why you'd want to play in them, to be honest. At some point, you have to it's almost like college football in the bowl games right now, where we're getting to a point where we have so many bowl games and the names just keep getting more obscure that it's just who sits down and actually watches this game. And I'm sure for the players it's nice to play in these games, but at the same time, the way they're structured by conference, you could have a team that was just on the cusp of getting into a BCS bowl fall down to like a December 24th bowl on Christmas Eve or something. And so, and almost the same thing goes for here. It's great to keep playing postseason play, but at what point nobody's watching it and these players are just, it's almost like, just let them focus on academics and, not play postseason ball if they don't want to. But, I don't know.
Yeah, because a lot of them, a lot of kids don't want to be in these bowl games, especially when they know it's a rinky-dink bowl game. Or it's one that's, it probably won't be highly viewed, and they don't really want to be there. They prefer, like you say, stay in school and concentrate on their books and do that. But they all have to do these bowl games, and it brings in a lot of money to the institutions. So that's why we'll never get rid of them. There are always going to be bowl games. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling today. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. One of our guests tomorrow will be Detroit Free Press writer Sean Windsor. He's out covering the Spartans out there in Phoenix, Arizona. So you can talk to Sean Windsor tomorrow right here on AM 870. Want to thank you for listening and thank you for calling. And make sure you come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So come and join us tomorrow. But we want you to make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening right here. And come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.